LinkedIn's stock surges, and some are wondering if we're entering another tech bubble.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, are investors doing with tech stocks what they just did with the housing market? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow's down 24 points at 12,581. The NASDAQ down 0.25%. The S&P 500 down about 0.4%. But Barnes & Noble stock, it's up 30% this morning on news of a $1 billion buyout offer from Liberty Media. Analysts say Barnes & Noble is a different story than its bankrupt rival Borders because of its investment in digital books. Now let's get to LinkedIn. That company's stock is up about 8% right now after yesterday's 100% jump after its IPO. So should we be concerned that this is a sign we're entering a tech bubble again? Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. He's with us live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you think, Chris? Are we entering another tech bubble?
Well, I have to say, you know, trading action like that certainly does feel bubbly. But if it is a tech bubble, it's a little bit different this time. It's not anything hardware and software. It's social media related stocks that people are really interested in.
Well, one of the things that helped fuel that bubble was cheap money 15 years ago. But money is cheap again. Do you think we're entering another phase of sort of irrational exuberance?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it. The Fed, a lot of what the Fed is doing by providing liquidity is trying to force banks to take more risk. But in the process, they're forcing investors to take more risk, too. And it's not just LinkedIn stock that's up a ton this year. It's commodities as well. And all of it is people just trying to find yield.
Trying to find a better return. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, the oil giant Royal Dutch Shell said today it will build a giant ocean vessel designed to liquefy natural gas at sea. The ship will be called Prelude and could dramatically increase the supply of offshore natural gas. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more now from London.
It will be among the biggest ships in the world, 1,600 feet long and six times heavier than America's biggest aircraft carrier. Costing $10 to $12 billion, Prelude will be the first vessel of its kind. It will liquefy natural gas at sea, so the gas won't have to be piped hundreds of miles to be liquefied on shore. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst with stockbrokers Redmayne Bentley.
Transferring natural gas from offshore oil sites onshore to liquefy it adds to the price. The idea here is that this will save that money and bring a lot of marginal natural gas projects into the investment horizons of the oil majors.
Building the ship is risky. The popularity of LNG has declined, especially in the United States. Extracting gas from shale is cheaper. But Shell believes that overall demand for natural gas is rising so fast that there's more than enough room for LNG and enough work for the planned vessel. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day. On the web at Manta.com.
Well, the NBA playoffs continue tomorrow after last night's tight matchup between Dallas and Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City won, tying up the series to one game apiece so far, but it's not a tie at all when you look at the ages of the star players on each team. One team is young, the other is, well, let's just say more experienced and more expensive. Larry Kuhn blogs about the NBA for ESPN.com, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Morning.
Give us a sense of the range of salaries we're talking about when you think about the lowest to the highest.
The minimum salary in the NBA is about $500,000. That's for a rookie on a minimum salary contract. The average salary is around $6 million. The highest salaries are well over $20 million. Kobe Bryant, I think, is the highest salary in the league right now, and he's at about $24
million. And is it typically the older players that are making those high salaries and the younger ones that are making the low salaries?
Yeah, you have to build up over several years to get a salary that's going to be that high.
Let's just look at two of the teams that are playing right now in the playoffs, the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Mavs are the oldest team in the NBA. The Thunder are the youngest team in the playoffs. What's the salary difference for the stars on those teams?
It's pretty huge. When you have older players, especially older superstars, you're paying a lot of money for them. The Oklahoma City Thunder are one of the younger teams in the league. They're right at about the salary cap. They're being well managed. And as their players start to get older, they're going to have to start spending a lot of money in order to keep those guys.
But both of these teams have made it to the playoffs. Are you getting what you pay for here? What's the difference in performance?
At this point, not much, since they're playing each other. We'll see who wins out and makes the finals. But you only get to keep young guys cheaply for so long. There's a controlled salary structure for high draft picks in their first few years in the league. After that, they start to make a lot of money.
So how do the team managers figure out who to pick? I mean, if you're looking at a LeBron James, a young guy, or a Dirk Nowitzki, who is an older guy, how do you decide where to spend your money?
You obviously want the young guys who are going to become great players. There's not a lot of those guys to go around. You have to get lucky and get the right pick in the draft in the right year in order to land a guy like that.
Who are you rooting for in this series right now?
I like everybody. I'm paid right now to be impartial.
Larry Kuhn, who writes about the NBA for ESPN.com, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And finally, to New York City, where a famous landmark is slated to be closed down due to budget cuts. I'm not talking about the Statue of Liberty. I'm talking about the Tribeca Firehouse that was used in the 1980s classic film Ghostbusters. It's one of 20 fire companies expected to be closed down to save the city $55 million. So if you do have a ghost problem now, I guess you'll just have to call Mayor Bloomberg directly. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There's a town in Ireland called Moneygall. It's pretty far off beaten path. The president's going to visit next week, though, and things might change.
You know, it will be all, the gold will be left out. It will be all money, 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 money.
I'm Kai Ruzdahl, putting Moneygall on the map and the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street, all of that jazz. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.